right. Amen. Thank you again, Russ and Liz. Those of you, if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And as those of you have your bulletins there, you could see the title, The Friendship of Christians in the Local Church. So as we turn to a familiar passage, John 15, my message isn't really talking about abiding in the vine, though we will talk about that. But from this text of Scripture, I want to draw out to you a burden the Lord has put upon my heart of, may I say, the fellowship of Christians and how it ought to be to one another and how it should be looking to those and being that come in our midst. So I'm excited about this morning. I feel it's something the Lord has placed in my heart, and I want to do my best to pass on to you this morning. So let us read, if you've got your Bibles there, again, John chapter 15. I'm going to actually read the first 17 verses just to bring the whole text of thought there. And then we will start to expound upon our subject this morning. Again, the Gospel of John 15, let us begin in verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, I'm the genuine vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or simply put, the one that takes care of the vine. He attends to it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it or prunes it, that it may bring forth fruit. More fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And isn't that true? Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. It simply means I have appointed you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then verse 17, Jesus has this final word here for our subject. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, as we consider our text before us this morning, your mind could go to, well, wow, Jesus was talking about a lot about abiding in Christ and what it means to be remaining in the Lord and being, we could say, plugged into his life. And what does this have to do with the friendship of Christians in the local church? Well, as we go through this message, I believe you are going to clearly see, at least it's my effort to help you to clearly see, how important it is for abiding in Christ, for this truth of how we Christians ought to be living towards one another and showing this exemplary action to those that come in amongst us of this love to one another in our local church here. But as we consider this text here in this way, this Sunday morning, I want us, before we go forward, to give an explanation of the difference of Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, and I'm going to share that with you, in our passage here, as there is absolutely no conflict or contradiction of meaning here in my subject. When you think of Romans chapter 5, let me just share these verses to you by memory. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And then he goes on in verse 6 here. I lost the verse there, so I have to turn to it. And in verse 7 it is, "For scarcely or hardly for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now you could think of that passage here and we could say, wow, what does that have to do with John chapter 15? And I want us to just notice one thing about Romans chapter 5. When we consider that love that came from God, we need to understand that it was the superiority of God's love to mankind when we were unloving sinners. The text there is showing God's supreme love, how he loved those that were not loving. And we can consider chapter 15 and John 15, and we could say, well, no, Christ only died for his friends. No, Christ died for all of humanity. And in Romans 5, the truth is that the writer Paul is showing how great and massive God's love was, how far it is above your love and my love sometimes, that simply at times wants to love those that love us, but yet God loved those that didn't even love him and want him. But I want us to understand there's no conflict of interest at all in Romans 5 and in John 15. And that we could say, well, only Christ died for his friends. Well, no. I want us to understand, and this brings us more into the subject for today, and I want us to understand the meaning of John 15 clearly, that as we know, Romans 5 teaches us that Christ died for all. And if that's the truth, what was Jesus really teaching then when he was sharing about friends and love? What was he saying? The saying was this: it was a call to Christ's disciples to love one another as a true friend would. Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples that you and I need to consider one another, as I'm going to share various things here in a little bit, you know, that we need to be seeing each other not just as people that go to church together, that we need to be looking at each other not just as people that are of like mindedness and doctrine and theory and the such like things, but that we actually see each other as friends. That our relationship goes beyond just going to church together, and we see each other as a real, true friend. You know, in Christendom, may I say it this way, in the local churches, I believe there's something missing. And I'm not going to say it's missing in every church, but by and large, there's a truth that is missing that needs to be in the local church. And if this truth is there, I'm telling you, that church is going to prosper. That church is going to grow. They're going to be a light in their community. But I have a burden I want to share with you this morning, and that is this: that far too many churches have settled for the idea that, listen, yeah, we go to church with one another, and that's so-and-so, that's their name, and yeah, they go to church together, and yeah, we believe the same doctrines and theories, but we really don't know one another. We really don't have a lot to do with each other. We come together on Sunday morning, and then that's kind of it. But I'm going to tell you something that becomes a great light in a local church that influences those that come amongst us of coming to the Lord, and also keeps that church hot for God. And that is that when you and I realize about each other that it's much more than just coming to church together, but that we need to see each other as Christ saw his disciples, and that is as a friend. Somebody that is more than just a name, but they're a real friend. And Jesus said here, he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And here we see Jesus coupling this thing of love and friendship together. And you know, I want us to be able to take the very thing that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. And the burden, I believe, that was on his heart is he wanted the disciples, when he would leave, to see each other more than just a disciple of Jesus. Yes, a disciple of Jesus. Yes, a follower of the Lord. But those that love each other as a true and genuine friend. You know, there's a lot of people that come to churches. And some of you probably know this. But if you don't, I want to share with you what I believe is a fact. And there are a lot of people that have been coming to the same church they go to year after year after year. And do you know what? They're lonely. They are lonely. And do you know why they're lonely? Because the majority of the believers that came, they came and they may have shaken hands and said hi, but then they never saw each other again until the next Sunday morning. They had nothing to do with each other. There was no camaraderie and encouraging each other, even after the message or through the week at all. And those same people that have been coming to those local churches for years, many of them are very lonely because they've not been really plugging into each other and reaching out to one another and following Jesus' example of laying down his life for his friends, because he considered his disciples not somebody so far from him that he couldn't really share the things of God with them, but he, the Lord Jesus, considered his disciples friends to the degree that he was able to share the things of God with them. Even as Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. The servant doesn't know what his Lord doeth. He doesn't get to hear those special things. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus considered his disciples more than just a disciple, but a friend. And I want us to be able to take the burden of the Lord this morning. And as we consider the friendship of Christians in the local church, that you and I would see each other far more than just another disciple of the Lord. Just another individual that comes to the same church as I do, but that we are actually friends together in Christ. You know, of the great things that constitute, and constitute is the thing that makes up the whole of a matter, but of the great things that constitute church life itself, and we're focusing on us this morning, for example, the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, the Lord's Supper, baptism, and the various things that make up a part of the church and should, I want us to know that I believe none of these supersede Jesus' words in the Gospel of John 13, verses 34 and 35, for those of you that like notes. None of these supersede the burden of Jesus when he said in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Listen to what the Lord said. By this very thing... You notice what he said in those words? Not by the preaching of the word, not by the teaching of the word, not by water baptism, not by the Lord's Supper, by this what? Your love to one another shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you're followers of me. Now, as we meditate on that verse, what do we have to draw from that? Jesus said, listen, by this act of loving one another, all humanity are going to know that you're a follower of me. Why? Why? Because Jesus exemplified true love to his friends. He set the example of what it was to love his disciples. How did he love his disciples, by the way? Patiently. You know, Peter sometimes was probably very hard to put up with, I'm sure, by the Lord. Some of those disciples were, I'm sure, a difficult thing for Jesus at some time, but he loved them patiently. The Bible teaches us he loved them unto the end. He didn't give up on them. He loved them all the way until Calvary, loved them all the way to the cross and beyond. He taught them the truth. He walked with them. He encouraged them. He blessed them. He praised them. And he loved them so much that he even rebuked them as they needed it. Sometimes, you know, when we think we give a rebuke or reproof, oh, that's so unloving. We live in a society that if you almost speak something negative, humanly speaking. If you speak something of reproof or correction, oh, you're unloving, you know. That's called what we call a politically incorrect statement in our day and age. You can't say anything negative. Well, I know when I watch, or when I, excuse me, read the Bible and understand the love of Jesus Christ, he loved the disciples to such a degree that he wasn't willing to let them go down a wrong path. He wasn't willing to just let them free fall, you know, to their own destruction, but he would correct them. Even so much so, you remember when the Lord said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, it's like, whoa! You know, what a statement. But yet the Lord was so loving. And he loved them in these ways and in many other ways. And listen, the burden on my heart this morning is that this church here, that we wouldn't first of all be known for our preaching. That we wouldn't first of all be known for our teaching, but we would be known because we love one another. We love one another in patience. We love one another by not giving up on each other. We love one another that we have the time to come along and lift that person up in prayer. We have the time to pray for them. We love them by blessing them. And I hope this doesn't need to happen, but I know life is life, that if we need to correct somebody, we love them enough to say, "Listen, brother or sister, this is not the right way. And I'm only sharing this because I want you to be blessed." You know, the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. You know, sometimes, you know, some people are like, "Well, you know what, I love that person so much, I just can't say, I just can't tell them they're going the wrong way. I love them too much." Well, the Bible says that's not true love. Open rebuke, clear rebuke and reproof, you know, is true love. If we see somebody really going down a wrong path, if we really love them, we'll speak up. If we say we love them and don't speak, that's called the love of the world. But the love of God goes far deeper than human love. And you know, I just know that of the great things that happen in the local church, none of these supersede the love for one another. Let me give you a quote from Amy Carmichael. Some of you know Amy Carmichael, great missionary in India. She said this, "If I take offense easily, if I am content to continue in cold unfriendliness, though friendship be possible, then I know nothing of Calvary love." I know nothing of Calvary love. Let me repeat that. If I take offense easily, I get offended real easily and quickly. My feelings get hurt real quick. If I am content to continue in cold unfriendliness because maybe somebody wasn't friendly to me or whatever, though friendship be possible, though I have the opportunity to be a friend to them, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Because this Calvary love that I'm reading about in John 15 calls us to consider one another and look at one another beyond just going to the same church with one another, but loving one another as a friend, as an associate. So, let me summarize thus far what we've said. Christ is calling us to consider each other more than, as I've already stated, a fellow churchgoer, a fellow believer, one that's like-minded in doctrine and worship, etc., etc. But Christ is calling you and I this morning to see each other as friends. Christ is calling you and I as fellow disciples, fellow heirs of the kingdom of God, to see each other as friends. Friends. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Jesus considered the disciples that walked with him friends. And he was wanting to bring forth the truth to you and I today that we would see each other as friends. And on the basis of that, act like it. And the Lord knew of the importance of relationships. And we have a great important relationship this morning, and that's called you and I together. You and I. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me just expound upon that last part a little bit more as the Lord was just giving me thoughts. on that word there where the Lord said, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If we come to church and just say, hi, brother so-and-so, or hi, sister so-and-so, and have really no more relationship, you know what? That is kind of superficial. But when that same individual that we say, hi, brother, hi, sister, too, is a friend, that relationship has a lot, sticks a lot closer. Sticks a lot closer than just realizing somebody is a brother or sister in the Lord or a fellow churchgoer. And you know, it's those friendships that we must count on, because those are the things that we're going to need sometime in life. And you know what? If there's anything we know we need God. That's the obvious. We know we need the Lord Jesus Christ. That goes without being mentioned, though it's worthy of mentioning. But I'll tell you something we need, and that's each other. If we think we're going to make it through this Christian life without each other, we need to think again. You know, this is what those that come among us must see. I think of the verse in 1 Corinthians 14:26, where the Apostle Paul was teaching. We know the church at Corinth that was still fleshly, and they were acting that way, and their love wasn't where it ought to have been. And they were getting off course somewhat, and Paul was instructing them, and in 1 Corinthians 14:26, he says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done into edifying. They were coming together, and everyone had a psalm, and everyone had a tongue, and everyone had a prophecy, and everyone had a revelation, and everybody wanted to just, you know, share. But yet, that was bringing confusion. And Paul said, listen, let all things be done unto edifying. And I'll tell you what, when people are being built up, when a church is prospering, all the things that we do are bathed in the love of Jesus Christ. When our preaching, when our teaching, when our doing the Sunday school lesson, when we're doing the things of God in the local church are effective, it's because they first are bathed in the love of Jesus Christ. And then they become prosperous and effective. With all of that being stated, I want to pose a question, and then I want to answer it to you in three ways. How can we today, how can we in the days to come, accomplish such a noble task? How can you and I possibly, in shoe leather, in action, living this out, accomplish, may I say again, such a grand and noble task of considering one another beyond just people that go to the same church together, but we're actually friends to the degree that we're able to share our heart with each other. Because, you know, a true friend is developed through being friendly. It's only enhanced and progresses through progressing through showing myself friendly, willing to share my heart with another believer and them to share their heart with me. But let us answer this question in three ways this morning. Number one, accomplishing this noble task is done as we consider the first eight verses of John 15. The first eight verses in John chapter 15, which talk about abiding in Christ. We will only accomplish loving one another as friends, considering one another as friends, as we follow the text that preceded the verses Jesus talked about friendship in, and that being in John 15, 1-8, abiding in the Lord. You know, you've heard me talk about this, but I want to share a little bit about this morning. What does it mean to remain in Christ? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, I want to make this very simple this morning. Abiding in Christ is sticking with not the thing, but the one who works. It's sticking with the one who worked for me in the beginning. By the way, who is the one that brought us even into the kingdom of God? Who is the one that made us a new creature or creation in Christ Jesus the Lord? Wasn't it Jesus Christ himself? Wasn't it the Lord, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of God, as we came to understand his meritorious service at Calvary and received his love into my heart? Wasn't it he that was the initial beginning to me even having a place of being able to live in Christ and be looking to the one who can solve all my problems. And it that same one that we look to initially is the one that we need to be sticking with, remaining in. How do we actively remain in an active relationship with the Lord who considers you and I as a friend? And you know, the Lord does consider you and I as a friend. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And we worship Him and adore Him and respect Him in that manner. But I want us to understand that Christ also considers you a friend. And how do we know it? Because He shares the things that are on the Father's heart with you and I. And a true friend will only share the things in their heart to another. And Christ has shared the Father's heart to you and I. And listen, how are you and I going to be able to continue to hear the Father's heart? It's by sticking with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all the answers. And we practically do that, as you've heard me speak before. By what? A, taking time to be in the Word of God. You know, it's one of my passions, and I cannot help but speak it. Those that take the time to actively read the Word of God, not just going through the motions, but actively read it with a prayerful spirit, praying things like, Lord, teach me your word. Show me your kingdom. God, feed me with the heavenly food I need today. Show me Jesus in the word. Show me your love. Show me your ways. And when our spirit is praying in that way, as we're in the word seeking God, God is going to show himself to you and I. He's going to impart his strength when you and I take time to pray. When we take time to give our burdens to the Lord, like Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. When we take the time to take our burdens to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, I don't have it all figured out, but I need you. God, I can't do it without you. And many of you know what's happened in my life over the last several months, having lost, you know, my brother through a drug overdose and the awful thing that happened there and the great trial of my life. If it wouldn't be for the Lord on my side, I don't know if I'd ever make it through. But I found this, that the Lord is able, and the Lord has said, Craig, give me your burden. Give it to me. I'll carry your burden. And I'm here to say that many of Christians, they're weighed down in life because they have not given their burden to the Lord. I don't know what your burden is this morning. I don't know what's weighing you down. I don't know what's hindering you. I don't know what's making you depressed. But I want you to know that Jesus is able to take our depressions, our anxiety, our doubts, our fears, our worries, and he's able to turn them in, believe it or not, to a blessing in our life. That mean that those things go away? Does that mean my brother's going to be raised from the dead? No. But it means my spirit has found victory over anger. It means my spirit has found victory over doubt. It's found victory over fear. It's found victory over anxiety, and now I'm able to live in the joy of the Lord, and I'm experiencing His love. And see, that's what the Father wants to do. He wants to shed His love upon you and I this morning, because Jesus Christ, as He is Lord and Savior, He wants to be a friend. And remember, a friend shares their heart. A friend communicates what's in their heart. And Jesus wants to communicate those to you and I. And Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Another reason that Christians aren't experiencing the friendship of Jesus and in turn are not able to share that same friendship to another is they're still living in disobedience. They're disobeying the light that's before them. God has laid out He's laid out the commandments for them. And believe it or not, many of you understand this. Many of Christians, they come to the Bible and it's like, well, you know what? Yeah, it's there, but I don't want to do that. You know, yeah, the Lord's directing me to do this, but I don't want to do it. And they remain in disobedience. And Jesus says, okay, you know what? I can't take you any further. I can't grow you up into my likeness that I want to, because you can't take this little step I'm asking you to. And Jesus made it so clear when he said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus said in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Remaining in that loving friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ is contingent upon the simple word obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? I find it a privilege to obey the Lord. I don't look at the word obedience as something that's a drudge or a weight, but I look at it as a privilege to obey the Lord, the King of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We can obey Him. And you know, by the way, when we keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, when we walk in the light of His word, as it's come unto us, two things happen. Not only do we experience the love of God in our personal life, but we experience His joy. And His joy fills our heart. And think about Galatians chapter 5. What are the first two fruits of the Spirit there? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, and then what? Joy. Here in John 15, what are the two fruits mentioned? Love and joy. And I'll tell you what, if there's two fruits of the Holy Ghost that we need today, it's the love of God in our heart to Him, loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving each other as Christ loved us, and the joy of the Lord. We were talking about in Sunday school this morning, we heard Ray Londervon talking about how God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And you remember, it was Miriam. And in Exodus 15, after they were delivered, they sang the song of Moses. They were rejoicing. And my question to you this morning, have you lost the joy of salvation? Have you lost the joy of abiding in Christ? Have you lost the pleasure it is to serve the Lord? Listen, if we don't have that joy, if we don't have that pleasure and excitement about the Lord, maybe we ought to ask ourselves the question, Lord, am I obeying You in all the light of Your word that You have given to me? Am I keeping Your word? Am I a follower of the Lamb? Am I remaining and sticking with You who has all the answers? Because inside Christ alone is where the love of God is found and where the joy of the Lord is maintained. Outside of Christ, yeah, you can have happiness. Yeah, but when those circumstances change, that happiness is going to go. But when we're in Christ and circumstances sometimes change, the joy of the Lord stays with me because that's something directly given from God. So secondly, as we consider how we can accomplish such a noble task, I have a couple more here. Not only is it abiding in Christ, which obviously includes obedience to Christ's commands. But secondly, when we see each other as friends, when we see each other, as already stated, as friends, it allows us to accomplish this task. You know, the Lord Himself could have looked upon Peter. Peter was a rough character at times. He was. But sometimes Peter gets picked on. But you know, if you and I were there, who knows, we may have been much worse than he ever was. But we use Him as example. But Jesus, though Peter had his rough edges, He considered him a friend. So much so, do you remember that Jesus at times would take Peter, James, and John. It's almost like the inner circle of His friends. And He would take them apart and show them things that He didn't necessarily show to all the other nine disciples, apostles there. But Jesus no doubt considered His disciples as friends. And listen, when you and I do that to each other, that in turn will lead to a couple things. When we look at each other beyond just fellow churchgoers, beyond those that share the same doctrine and theology and worship, but when we look at each other as friends, it's going to lead to a couple things. Number one, it's going to lead us to lay down our lives for each other. It's going to lead us to lay down our lives for each other. And I'll share on that. Jesus did. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus can share, you know, considered the disciples more than just subjects, but friends He was willing to die for. And you know what? When we look at each other and consider each other as true friends, I'm going to tell you what, there's times we're going to lay down our lives in various ways, such as what? What does that all mean? Does that mean that we're going to all of a sudden just all go out and physically die for each other? Not necessarily so. The Lord may ask us to do that. But we're going to lay down our lives in different ways. Sometimes we're going to lay down our own interests, right? We're going to lay down our own interests that at times are lawful in and of themselves. But you know what? It's not good for my friend, my disciple that I love. And you know what? Because I see it's not good for them, I'm going to lay down my own interests for them because I love them to such a degree. So I'll lay down my own interests. I'll lay down my own pursuits at times. I'll lay down my own ambitions. I'll lay down my own dreams. I'll lay down even the things that are lawful to me that I know absolutely are nothing wrong with in the Lord. But you know what? Because I love my friend, my fellow Christian to such a degree, I don't have to do this in their presence. I don't have to flaunt my privilege because I love them to such a degree. Oh, I hope you catch my burden. Oh, that the local churches would get to this point. I'll tell you what, many a church has many a problem because they've not gotten to the place where they see each other as friends and in turn are willing to lay down their lives for one another. Oh, that we would be willing to do that, because I'm telling you what, if that happens here at this church and we maintain that fiery love, you and I won't have to go out and blow a trumpet and say we're here. The news will rapidly spread and the people will come. Because Jesus said, by this shall all men know or realize that you are my disciples if you have loved one to another. Because the supreme thing about the Lord is he loved the disciples. He loved the world. And may we share that love with one another. And you know, not only seeing each other as friends will enable us and cause us to lay down our lives for each other, but it will cause us to share with one another. As Jesus said in verse 16, you know, or in verse 15, he didn't consider the servants, you know, his disciples servants, because the servant didn't know what was on the master's heart, but he considered them friends. And he went on to explain how he considered them friends. He says, because, you know, he said, the things that I have heard of my Father, all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He didn't keep back truth. He didn't keep back the special things he gave them. And you know, when you and I see each other as friends, we will share the things of God with one another. We will share the passions of the Lord. We will share our talents with each other. We will share our dreams with each other. And we will take time to pray for one another, love one another, bless one another, lift each other up, and if need be, correct each other if we're in the wrong. Thirdly, as we conclude our message here shortly, as we again, just to keep our minds on the subject, are looking in this last practical part of the message, how we can accomplish this grand and noble task of seeing each other as friends and not mere associates, is this will be accomplished when we understand and accept this appointment of Christ. Again, when we understand and accept this appointment to see each other as friends of Christ, because Jesus Christ, no doubt, was wanting his disciples to see each other as friends. Not people that just believe in the Lord together, but have a camaraderie and a love for one another. And as those of you that know your Bible, John shared about the love of God in his gospel. But if you study 1 John, his other epistle, what is it full of? Love, 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 love. Well, here in verse 16, you know, as I already stated, Jesus, he considered the disciples not servants, and he considered them friends, and therein shared the things of God to them. And when you and I understand and accept this appointment of Christ, you and I will in turn love one another as friends. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained or appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. This was an amazing thought to me in the sense, nothing new under the sun, but what was amazing, that actually Jesus Christ, yes, he's appointed you and I to go out and bring forth fruit, but what type of fruit? Pertaining to our subject matter here, he has appointed you and I to go out and make friends with the world. Not, you know what I mean, not friends and doing their wrong, but to go out and make a friend with somebody else where we have the opportunity to share Christ with them, where in turn they can become a friend to the Lord theirself. That's amazing that you and I have been appointed by the Lord to get busy, go out, share the word of God. Can I say, make a friend with somebody we don't know in the world, not taking on their bad habits, of course, no, but shedding the light of Jesus unto them, but making a friend, having a thing of fellowship with them, that they could become a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. That's what I call a grand and divine appointment from the Lord. That you and I would go out and bring that type of fruit. The fruit of the nations, the fruit of people being able to call Jesus Christ, yes, their Lord and their Master, but also to realize, I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is my call and my encouragement this morning. And my heart's desire is that you are able to catch the burden that I believe was on the Lord's heart many years ago to his disciples, and that he put in my heart this morning, is that you and I, within the local church, would see each other far beyond just people that come to the same church together. Far beyond people that worship the same way in song. Far beyond believing the same things of theology. But that we'd actually see each other as friends. To the degree that I'm willing to impart my heart to them and am willing to listen to their heart. You know, you've heard me share this before, but I believe any healthy relationship that's going to succeed and prosperous, whether it be church life, whether it be husband and wife, whether it be friends, whether it be brothers, whether it be sisters, it has to have two aspects of communication to it. It has to have A, me being able to share my heart to that individual, and B, me being able to have the patience and the kindness to not say a word and listen to their heart, and to allow that reciprocation of fellowship to come back and forth. And when you and I take the time to invest our heart into another, and very keenly, with interest to that other person's heart, listen to what's on their heart, that makes for good fellowship. That's what God wants in the local churches. And may Reunion Church always be known for that. You know, I share these things. You know, in my mind, I go out and I look at the Lord, just how I feel the Spirit prompts me. I look out in the future, and, you know, being in ministry, you know, long enough and considering the workings of the Lord, I look at churches, and there's many churches that have had many good beginnings. Many, many churches have had great beginnings, but many of those same churches that have had great beginnings have not had great ends. But I'll tell you what, I believe many of those churches that had great beginnings that didn't end well, somewhere along the line, this truth went out the back door. Somewhere along the line, this truth went out the back door. And I know what the Bible says, and many of you too, and I believe the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Thy words, O Lord, are forever settled in heaven. And I know what the Bible says, and this is so important. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty or a lifted up spirit before a fall. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. I believe we've been well-advised this morning from the Lord's Word. When we receive His wisdom and apply it, we're in a good place. But when we let my agendas, my thoughts, my pushiness get in the way, that's when churches have problems. So may, again, we be a church that's always known by, yes, A, our supreme love to God, first and foremost, but our love and friendliness to, excuse me, one another. So let us pray. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to have shared this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would take, Lord, the words that I have shared, and my heart is, Lord, that you would make them very practical, tangible to our lives, Lord. Father, what I've shared, I just pray that you would impart into each one where we're at, how we need it, Lord. You know the condition of our life. You know where we're at in life. You know our trials, our temptations, our ups, our downs, our ins, our outs. And Lord, my heart's cry this morning is that you would take, Lord, these words and impart them to each one how they need it. Father, I also pray, Lord, that, Lord, any of us here this morning, Father, you know us, that do not have that intimate relationship with you, Lord. I just ask that you'd help us to not leave this building without knowing our heart is right with you. We give you thanks, and we give you praise in Jesus' name.